You are listening to Fit to Order's Healthy Desk Jockey, a podcast created for desk-bound employees and employers who need to move more and stress less for the health of it. I am Stacey Fritz, one of the owners of Fit to Order and your host. Join us as we address corporate wellness strategies specifically for desk jockeys that will inspire the evolution of a fit and healthy workforce. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 16 of the Healthy Desk Jockey podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about Betty. Who is she? Betty is the driver behind the evolution of Fit to Order's wellness programs. You guys, for 11 years, Fit to Order has provided corporate wellness programs that engage employees in healthy behaviors, things like our signature fitness classes, our nutrition seminars, and even a couple of weight loss challenges. Participation rates are the standard measure of success for our programs. Over the years, Fit to Order has unwittingly developed an additional bigger picture metric. I want to introduce you to Betty. Betty is our internal, subjective, and toughest standard by which we evaluate our programs, and she generates quite a bit of discussion around here. The metric looks like this. Is Betty participating in our programming? Is she engaged in our programs? Is Betty bored in our programs? So, Betty represents the quintessential seasoned desk jockey. A desk jockey is somebody who sits for more than 4 hours during the day at work. Perhaps she is the receptionist or the call center representative, or maybe she is the executive VP of human resources. Whatever her title is, Betty sits most hours of her workday, and aside from the bathroom breaks that she needs to take, she finds it really difficult to peel away from her desk. Because of her sedentary work lifestyle, like most desk jockeys, Betty has what's called creeping weight gain, and her latest blood work revealed that she is pre-diabetic. Her insurance company would call her a yellow light. A yellow light is someone who's in the moderate health risk category and is quickly approaching the red light category or the high risk category. Red lighters are employees with one or more chronic conditions. Their conditions dig deep not only into an employee's pockets, but those of the companies. Here's the kicker, at least for us anyway, Betty does not want to engage on on-site wellness activities. This is exactly why Betty makes a great metric for us. We know that if the Bettys of the world, the yellow lights of your company are participating, the elusive behavior change gets set into motion, or as we like to call it, the ripple effect of change begins, elevating both Betty's health and your work culture. So after these 11 years, what are the lessons that we have in fact learned from Betty? So 11 years in, here's what we've learned about corporate wellness programs from her. No matter how clever the internal marketing that we do, no matter how buff the on-site fit coach or trainer we provide, and no matter how many emails that she receives, lesson number one, Betty will never get on the ground of her company's parking lot for a corporate boot camp program, no matter how much we try to modify the push-up. It's so sad because we had many years of wonderfully run corporate boot camps. But what we noticed was it was the same 5 to 10% of the population showing up for our boot camp classes, and they were already well on their way to being fit or already fit. And, you know, as it was. So the first lesson, and it is a rookie lesson that we learned, boot camps are not for everyone. In fact, most people who participate in these types of programs are already healthy. Like I said, research shows that less healthy employees are least likely to participate in wellness activities like these, right? So that was a pretty big lesson and a little bit of a crusher because Patty and I, my business partner and I both came from a fitness background, teaching background as well. And we thought we just made a general assumption just because we have always done it and enjoyed doing it and enjoyed doing it with the participants that we were with prior, that of course everybody would enjoy doing it in a corporate setting. And that certainly was not the case. So lesson number one learned. Lesson number two, Betty is reluctant to join group challenges because she doesn't want to hold back her team. Now that's been a kind of a light bulb moment for us here at Fit to Order because never quite dawned on us that somebody would not be participating in a challenge because they were fearful of holding back their team. Like 70% of employees who do not participate in wellness programs, Betty would like to call her own shots for healthy behavior. And that was interesting. And again, another great lesson to learn that, why people do and don't offer to participate in the company wellness program initiative. Lesson number three, Betty might attend a lunchtime nutrition seminar mostly because she wants the wellness points, but she'd much rather spend 30 minutes getting out of the office to go to our favorite lunch spot. So what was the lesson that was learned here? The wellness point system of rewards. That was a really big eye-opener. A recent study concluded that while monetary incentives can increase participation, they do so only by 9 to 13%. So despite dressing these programs up as carrots, and I'll describe what that means in a moment, non-participatory employees often see them as sticks. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with these two terms, carrot and stick, the idea is behind a reward system. Carrot, meaning there was a reward. It was an initiative that was rewarded with points in system that if you participated, then you were able to achieve that reward. Whereas if you are putting in place a stick program, the stick representing punitive or a punisher. So feeling like that if you don't participate, that somehow there was going to be a penalty in place. So carrot versus stick. So, only 9 to 13%. Of those kinds of monetary wellness incentive will people participate in. That was, I don't know that that was a huge aha for us, but over the years, we certainly have learned not only what it feels like to have both in place, where a company would feel like it was putting in place a punitive system as opposed to some rewarding. And I will make a plug here and say that I, of course, support the carrot approach. Trying to force people into doing things that they don't want to do, in my opinion, is never a great strategy, because what will happen is the resentment alone is just not a great feeling, and not a great feeling to pull into somebody's culture. So just an opinion. Lesson number four, final lesson that we've learned over 11 years. Betty would like to take part in healthy activities during the workday, but because of her time constraints and her demanding workload and the guilt, she refrains. And so what was the takeaway here? This was big, and this was really has become the driver of where our business has evolved to. What we learned was despite Betty's concerns, according to even the Harvard Business Review, most employers would support short, purposeful work breaks. But when the CEO's encouragement is not communicated, the culture can feel unsupportive. So let me translate here. Betty is reluctant to participate in fully engaged, really difficult wellness programs like the corporate boot camp, but she would consider, we've learned, that she would mind being involved in joining healthy activities that are in place that are short micro breaks, if you will. The differential being that she would participate if she felt that it was accepted and supported from her employer. So those two big things, right? So what we've done is we've kind of changed the philosophy of long periods of time, an hour-long lunchtime class, and moved Betty into a direction of micro work breaks where she can get up from her desk, small doable chunks, and if she feels supported by her employer, she absolutely would engage in that. And I love that lesson that we've learned over the years, is that even though Betty wouldn't do one thing, she would do something different. And so that's what we're talking about today. So what will Betty do? In fact, Betty is, well, let me take a step back here and just tell you, this is what we know about Betty. Betty definitely wants to lose weight. She doesn't want the back pain that she's developed from too much sitting. She knows that she needs to move more. And although she might not be front and center in that lunchtime yoga class, she would do those stretches at her desk. She won't touch that boot camp class, but she would use a resistance band and do one move per hour. So just like I said, these micro breaks where she would consider during her workday just infusing small movement. And while she probably can't be talked into a walking challenge per se, she wouldn't mind taking a 10-minute walk around the parking lot with a coworker who shares her same interests. So again, back to those short chunks of time, doable, interesting to Betty, because she does have some lofty health goals. She just doesn't have the ability time-wise and fitness-wise and support-wise to be doing larger stretches of fitness activity. Betty would like to take those short fitness breaks and can begin to develop her own fit work lifestyle. So let me define that one for you because it's huge around here. The fit work lifestyle means that we are taking care of our health during the workday. And I know that this is probably not a really current kind of mantra or feeling in the workplace right now, but trust me when I tell you, it's definitely coming down the road. We know that if you are sitting for long periods of time, even if you are exercising before or after your work hours, that's not enough to reverse the effects of chronic sitting and sedentary behavior. We have to do these micro movements during the workday, or else the health challenges are going to be, you know, really hard to overcome. It's just that bad for you. Smoking is the new sitting, right? Or excuse me, sitting is the new smoking. The bottom line, our subjective and beloved metric, Betty, continually motivates us here at Fit to Order to think differently about on-site wellness programs. Instead of attempting to convert offices into gyms, we can repurpose fitness to fit into an office lifestyle, offering fitness-based work breaks. While fitness classes and nutrition seminars and weight loss challenges all have their place within a company's wellness strategy, and trust me when I tell you, we have not thrown them out. We are just learning from Betty that she has taught us that to engage her, we need to think small and doable. Betty's small steps towards a healthy work lifestyle can create that ripple positive change both in her life and in your work culture. So, a lot to digest today, and I would encourage you to listen back again, because as we move forward with the Healthy Desk Jockey podcast, my hope is that we can take some bite-sized pieces of a larger topic and break them down for you and teach you how to do this new evolution of fitness that we're calling the Fit Work Lifestyle. Until next time, thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy Desk Jockey. It would be awesome if you'd take a minute to write a quick review on iTunes. You can find additional tips, tools, and strategies to create a fit work lifestyle at www.fittoorder.com. Tune in next time for more healthy solutions for the desk worker here on the Healthy Desk Jockey.